It's taken from Matthew chapter 4. The Lord is leading us, and we're sharing with you the book of Matthew as we try to preach through that as the Lord directs. And I want to introduce you to the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. Amen. And it reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I want to just share with you for a few minutes today, what's right is right. What's right is right. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your awesome grace. Thank you for bringing us together to worship this morning and laying aside all of the problems and difficulties. We come today to grab hold of your word and, Lord, for your word to grab hold of us. Thank you so much for seeing us through the conflicts and dangers that were all around us on last week. And, Lord, we come today specifically to give your name the praise and all of the honor. But now lead us now. Teach us the things that we need to know, that we might do the things that we need to do to honor your name, to glorify you, and to give you worship. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. How many of us have used that phrase, what's right is right? Now, while we use that phrase, I have a couple of issues. One, do we really know what's right? Do we really know what's right? And then secondly, can we do that which is right? And that's a powerful question. And it's one that we need to define what is right. What is right? And how do we pursue this? Everyone has their idea. Some would say that their right is more right than someone else's. Everyone has their notion. But what is right? More importantly, what is righteousness? Not just doing right on occasion, but what is it to live right? What does it mean to live a righteous life? So let's look at this for a few minutes. Let's try to find what is right. Now, it's not based on human opinion. Everyone has their opinion, and that can be used as a basis for right. And while it may seem right, it's not necessarily right. That's just an opinion. Then also we find that people will go with, well, whatever works. You know, that's what we need to do. As long as it works, then why pursue something else? Rather than looking at improvement, they say, well, I'm going to settle with where I am. A lot of people are there in their spiritual walk. They're saying, well, this works. So let me just go ahead and go along with what I have right now because this works, and why should I seek anything else? Now, that's man's idea. But only Christ can define. Only Jesus can tell us what is right. Now, when we say that Jesus Christ tells us what is right, then we have to be assured that he is right. We have to get that settled in our heart that he not only came to show us righteousness, but he's righteous himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we want to talk about is not just the righteousness of God, but the righteousness of God that has been revealed to us. Because after all, we can do wrong and say, well, nobody told me what was right. Nobody gave me an example of what is right. How do I know what's right? I'm just doing what I think is best. Now, should we live our life based on what we think is best, or should we live our life based on what has been revealed to us? I want to tell you that Jesus going into the wilderness was not some remote incident. It was not just something that was put there. Oh, we want to get the complete picture. Yes, we get a complete picture of what he went through, but what he went through was for a reason. The Bible said that after he had been baptized by John, remember John the baptizer? We talked a little bit about him on last week. John baptized in the River Jordan, and everyone came to him for repentance and remission of their sin. They came out to John. They were baptized in the Jordan. One day Jesus showed up. And John is asking himself, why are you here? You're going to take over? And Jesus said, no, I'm here to be baptized. And John forbade him. In other words, he's saying, this doesn't need to happen. I need to be baptized by you. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in just a minute. But I want you to grab hold of what's happening here. A lot of people, when they say that they have God in their life, they automatically assume that everything is going to go perfect from now on. And all of a sudden, you're led into a wilderness. All of a sudden, you find yourself in the middle of nowhere. And ladies and gentlemen, when you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, you got to know what's right. Jesus went into the wilderness, the Bible tells us. He went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit led him specifically into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, us in our life, we don't want to be tried. We don't want to be tested. We just want to have life so that it's good. How you doing? I'm doing good. But how do you know you're doing good if you've never been tested? A lot was at stake here. A lot was at stake here. If Jesus does not pass this test, what will that mean for humanity? If he cannot conquer some of these things, what will that mean? Now, let me tell you something else about Jesus Christ that we need to give God glory for. Not he only is he the Son of God, he is the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. Now, we know the sun in our solar system. We know that it has a purpose to shine and give light upon the earth. Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness because he's going to shine and give righteousness to everyone that's on the earth. Isaiah in 61, he said, Isaiah chapter 61, those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Why? The sun came up. What sun? God's sun. Not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Righteousness, and he has healing in his wings. So now, here's Jesus going into the wilderness, led by the Spirit, to be tested and tempted by the devil. What's at stake here? What do we have to be concerned about? What's on the line? What's going to happen? Well, number one, Jesus' deity is on the line. The first thing that Satan says to him, if you are who you say you are, if you are the Son of God, if you are the incarnate, if you are Emmanuel, God with us, turn these stones into bread. Now, Satan didn't tempt him. While he was fasting, Satan tempted him after the 40 days. He doesn't play by the rule. He said, yeah, I know he's got a divine calling. And he's going to fast those 40 days because that represents symbolically Moses being in the presence of God 40 days. I'm going to wait until he goes through that. And, you know, after he's hungry and now that vow has been fulfilled, I'm going to wait until that child of God gets out of church. I'm going to wait after they have prayed and after they've sought God, and then I'm going to tempt them. I'm going to wait until they get into my territory. See, the wilderness was a place of wild beasts, wild animals. It was not the promised land. Anybody here? All alone, by himself. No one else would have known. So Jesus' deity is on the line. If he is the Son of God. Now, what does that mean? Is he going to bow to his own appetite? If he's the Son of God. As we know, when Satan put that at him, Jesus said, it is written. Not what I think, not what I feel, not what works, but it is written. How many times have we used it in our life to say that something is right? Not very many. We got a lot of things we say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it today. You cannot change what is written. You cannot change what God has given. Second thing, Jesus' power. His power and authority. Now, let me ask you a question. If he can't conquer his own appetite, his own hunger, and if he can't conquer the devil, how's he going to conquer the world? I'm trying to show you something here. I want you to see this. So here is Satan coming at Jesus with all of his power. Jesus at his weakest point in the flesh. And Satan says, fight me. And Jesus says, it is written. I'm going to fight you on God's terms. I'm going to attack you with the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing, the only way that you and I can be more than conquerors through him that loved us is that we must not only just have the word of God, we've got to use it. We got to use it in battle. Anybody with me today? And then the third thing that we find, not only is this deity who he is, the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, Emmanuel, God with us, not only his deity and his power, but also his mission. His mission. What if he had just turned the stones into bread? Oh, you know, nobody's not going to know about this. What will his mission be? Remember Moses, how faithful Moses was? And one simple act caused Moses to miss the promised land. You know what that act was? When he came out to the people, God had told him what to do. But rather than speak to the rock, Moses got so angry, he struck the rock. And the Bible said the water gushed out, but guess who didn't make it to the promised land? If Jesus had not fulfilled his righteous mission in everything that he was doing, ladies and gentlemen, your salvation and my salvation would not have happened. But thank God when he came out of the wilderness, not only did he conquer the devil, but everything about him said holy. The angels came to him and ministered unto him. And the Bible says in Luke 4 and 14, Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. He was led there in the Spirit, got weak in the flesh, but he got powered in the Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? So what does this mean? How do we go about this in our own life? Here's some key points. Number one, right is not feeling. Say that with me. Right is not feeling. It's not how you feel. Amen. A whole lot of things your emotions tell you don't go along with it, but you know I've got to do this because this is what? It's right. The second thing is right is not religious opinion. Well, there ain't way we did it in the church a long time ago. Hello. Jesus came to John the Baptist, and I'll get more into this in just a second. And John was said, my religious background does not tell me that you ought to be baptized. Has nothing to do with religious background. Then thirdly, Satan confuses what is right. How do you know that? You've got a decision in front of you now. All of a sudden, he's bringing you all of these options. Doing right is not optional. You either do it or suffer the consequences. Young people, let me give you a lesson. I know you want to do the things you want to do because everybody else is doing it and they're defining what is right. But there are consequences to every wrong you do. You're going to pay. You're going to pay. And sometimes you pay a very heavy penalty. And then last thing that we'll bring out, God's word shows us what is right. So all four of these, it's not feelings. It's not religious ideas. Don't let Satan confuse you. And then God's word is the only thing that brings right. I'm just going to share some scriptures on this. First of all, it's not the way you feel. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right unto a man. Every time you turn around, you're going to feel some way about something. And people are arguing today about the way they feel. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is either we care about what is right or we watch not only our nation, but our communities and our families go down the tube because people are not standing up to do what is right. You got to do it. You got to do it. Proverbs said it's not based on your own understanding. In other words, another proverb says, don't lean to your own understanding in all of your ways. How many? All of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Second verse that we want to deal with, because it's not only just the feelings, but sometimes we get real religious. Real religious. You know how folks, when they, you know, when they're given a Bible, then all of a sudden they start bringing the Bible to church, and all of a sudden you watch them and their demeanor changes. Now they know more Bible than everybody else. Been walking with the Lord 2 weeks and read five verses, and now they know everything about God. Amen? Zechariah was raised as the son of a priest. John, rather, was raised as the son of a priest. He was brought up in a religious family. He had the background. And not only that, John had the calling of God upon his life. But guess what? He was not the Savior. So here comes Jesus, the righteous one, telling John, baptize me. And John says, hold up. Wait a minute. This is against my theology. I need to be baptized by you. I looked up the word for bad, which it says in the King James Version. It meant hindered him. Hindered him. How many of y'all ever got hung up with religious folk going to argue something? And the point of what they're trying to argue is not worth arguing. Well, what you believe about the Bible, about this? Oh, I believe it's written. Well, no, I didn't tell you that. Well, wait a minute, I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to try to do what it says. John forbade Jesus. He hindered him. He wanted to stop him. And then Jesus proceeded in verse 16 by saying, suffer it to be so now. Allow it to happen so that we can fulfill all righteousness. Don't let stuff get hung up in the church or anywhere else based on your religion. Follow God. If God is saying, do this, guess what? Do this. If people are hungry, you don't need to hold a committee meeting. You need to feed them. I know this is going to really rattle us, but it should. It should prompt us to action. Then as we look at it, Satan will confuse you. He said to Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Now let me tell you something. If Satan can get you to do one thing, he'll get you to do more. That's just the beginning. Does this look familiar? Looks a little bit familiar. Let's rewind the tape now. But it didn't happen in the wilderness. It happened in a garden over food. Amen. And Satan comes to Eve and said, did God really say that you couldn't eat from everything? And now here is Satan trying to test and tempt the seed of the woman. But he doesn't know that this is no ordinary day. He doesn't realize this is no ordinary man. As a matter of fact, going all the way back, this is the promised one that it said he was going to crush his head. He's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush his head. Jesus would leave that wilderness conquering Satan because he did not give in to his appetite. Amen. You know those hunger pains that you get sometimes? Man, I got to hurry up and get some food. My stomach growl. Let it growl. Let it growl. You know your blood pressure won't allow you to eat Moore's Country Store hot dogs, even though they're good as they are. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to give me a hot dog just real quick. Next thing you know, you got a headache the size of this building. Yeah, they're good. But you cannot allow your appetite, you cannot allow your fleshly appetite to move you into sin. And Satan is there to rattle it. You can't allow these things to come into your life and to keep you from the will of God. You be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Then the last thing he said to him, Jesus was saying, it is written. Now I want us to pay particular attention to it is written. There's a verse that God will give you through the Spirit for every storm and every trial that you'll ever face. How many of you have used the Psalm 23 to get through a crisis? That's just one of them. And then Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whenever you can find and it is written, the devil is in trouble. Whenever you can find it is written, the problem will not have control of your life. Whenever you can discover the greatness of God in your situation, guess what? That's an indication you're not by yourself. God is with you. God is guiding you. The Lord is leading you. So we've got to trust him. We've got to believe in him. Amen? Amen? What's right is right. So here's some takeaway points very quickly. Number one, your wilderness is only a test. God will never lead you into the wilderness for you to just stay there all your life. Well, I got to go through this. Let me tell you something. Whenever you reach that moment in your life, say that, wait a minute, I don't want to go through this. I feel like I don't need to go through this. But nevertheless, if this is what God says is going to make me better, I'm going to tell you something. I pray a whole lot better when I got problems. How many of y'all know that? Now, I'm not saying I want God to send me problems to get me to pray, but if he's going to get me to pray by a problem, I'm going to pray. And praying is not complaining. Amen. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows every As a matter of fact, he knows how much pressure you can take. He knows every trial that you'll ever face in life. Got them all planned. And every one of them is designed to make you stronger. How many of y'all ever had to go through physical therapy? Okay, are the people kind to you? They don't, and I shouldn't put it that way. Do they stop when you say, ouch? And they tell you a little bit more. Let me tell you something. When you're in your wilderness, and God tells you, you can take a little bit more. See, when you move stuff out of the way, that gives him room to put things back in your life. And what he's trying to do is get stuff out of you, but then to bring more of his goodness, more of his grace and his love in you. Second thing is, depend on God through the temptation. Amen? Well, say, Lord, you know, you brought me here. Show me what you want me to do. Give me the grace and strength so that I can make it through this, because if without you, I'm going to fail. But through you, I'm more than a conqueror. God never designed life for you to be living it all by yourself. God has called us to be led by his Spirit. Amen? And then the last takeaway is, come out of your wilderness being filled with the Spirit. The more you depend on God, the more you're saying to yourself, for the rest of my life, I'm just going to serve him. For the rest of my days, I'm going to live for God. I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm tired of living my way. I'm tired of seeing it my way. It's God's way now. This is the life he's planned for me. This is the mission I must take. Satan did not realize, and the Bible says clearly, he left him. In other words, he said, you know what? I'm out of here. I can't test you anymore. I can't tempt you, but I'm going to come back and I'll try you again, but not right now. Instead of Jesus leaving the wilderness broken, how many of y'all ever left a problem with a praise? In other words, when you walked out of that problem, you had a praise in your heart saying, thank you, Jesus, not just to get out of it, but to know that the Lord brought you through it. If it hadn't, anybody in here, no, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I know where I'd be. I know where I'd be, but instead I'm here today giving God the praise and all the glory because he is worthy of all the praise. Amen? Amen. What's right is right. Look at somebody and tell them what's right is right. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your glory. Thank you for your honor. And I pray, God, that there would be someone here today who's listening that never has opened their heart to Christ. I pray that they would do so now. Stop being religious and get it right. If you need to repent of your sin, do that and acknowledge that He is Lord. Invite Him into your heart because He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. Jesus came out of that wilderness shining with the brightness of 10,000 suns. Why? Because He was the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings to teach us the way, to lead us. And He is worthy because He has done that which God commanded of Him. Bless your name today. Praise your Lord for your goodness and power. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation if there be one today. Next, we all stand. If you're here without a Savior, you don't need to leave church the same way you came in. You can leave having the love of Christ abounding in your heart. Is there one? We're going to get ready for our offering. We'll ask that our officers would come forward as we prepare our gifts to give unto the Lord.
Good morning.
We come just now as humble as we know how. Gracious Father, we want to thank You for watching over us all night long. You touched us with the finger of love and started us out on a brand new day.
Yes, Lord.
Day we never seen before, surely we never see again. Gracious Father, we want to thank You for granting us traveling mercy up and down the dangerous highways.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I ask You to please and kindly bless the sick in a special manner. Bless those, Father, that is less fortunate than we are. Remember those in the nursing home, those on the battlefield, if it be Thy holy and everlasting will. Now, Father, we want to thank You for the people that have gathered here this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Father, may You throw Your loving arms a protection around them, shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger.
Yes, Lord.
We want to thank You, Father, that for the ones that have it to give and the ones that have not.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.